Welcome to this week's episode of Soccer Neophytes Podcast. Arsenal is on top. A thrilling and controversial Liverpool City battle. Spurs thump. And an exciting non-Premier League week is upcoming. Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hello.
I barely made it through that introduction.
It was a good hack. You're good.
In the last 15 minutes, I've like my throat's, I'm coughing, and I don't know what's happening. How's everybody?
Good.
You're just good. That's it, Andrew. I figured we'd have much more of a loud and boisterous introduction from you.
No, I'm slow and steady wins the race. Even keel. We don't need to get too excited. We don't need to get too low. We're gonna be nice and even. And this is how we're gonna live our lives from now on, fellas. We're gonna be nice and middle ground. It's what audiences love. They don't love extremes.
No.
They love nice and even keel, rational and reasonable.
Totally.
Because that definitely is the mark of the Spurs. 100%. Yeah. Everything you just said.
We are nice and
steady.
Level-headed. That's us Spurs.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get to Spurs, but we have to start with the match of the weekend, Liverpool City. 1-1 draw. City came out looking like they were going to dominate and then scored 1-0 at the break. Liverpool played much better second half. They end up scoring to equalize. But we have to talk mostly about the controversy at the end. Jeremy Doku's karate kick to the chest of McAllister. That's all anyone's talking about. Klopp in his very Kloppish ways, which makes you want to disagree with him, even though he's probably right. claiming it's 100% a penalty in all worlds, in all football worlds. Guys, you've seen it. What say ye?
So can we talk about the nature of these rules, right? Because it doesn't matter if you have two guys running full steam at a stationary ball and they're both even distances away running at the same speed. You know, the rules are there to prevent for safety purposes, right? Yeah. They're trying to say the person who obviously has the advantage gets the ball, blah, 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 right? So that to prevent injuries, to prevent these wild and crazy, that's the purposes of the rules, right?
Yeah, violent conduct, dangerous play. It's because this game's moving at a fast pace and left unchecked, you can hurt someone, you can end careers.
So with that being kind of like the spirit of the law, regardless of what the letter of the law is, and I think the letter of the law calls it a penalty, the spirit of the law seems to pretty much state, look, he raised his leg, karate kicked above the dude's waist. Did he hit the ball first? Sure.
Maybe.
But he puts it like right. Maybe. Yeah, but he puts it like what? Right in his chest, midsection?
Yeah.
How Nathan is that Collins, not a penalty?
Nathan Collins, I don't know if you remember this last year, Andrew, but Nathan Collins did that to Jack Grealish. So Wolves against City. This is when Collins was still with Wolves. Straight red. Just ball to the, or foot to the chest of Grealish.
Emerson got on Spurs, got a straight red earlier this season. Full on got the ball first. The other guy didn't even get the ball, but he kicked threw the ball so hard that he like almost broke the guy's shin. Yeah. And because of the sheer force and carelessness,
recklessness,
he was given a red.
Yeah.
And this guy kicked a dude in the midsection, even if he hit the ball for, I don't see how it's not a penalty.
Well, and even then it appeared, well, actually first, before we jump into that, Chris, did you see it? I mean, you heard your
son
talk about it.
I did, and I feel like I can be swayed by either argument. So if I were to simply watch the play as it happened, which I watched it happen, and I watched the video of it, I felt like he got the ball. I didn't feel like it was intentional. I felt like he was going for the ball. Yes, he came into contact with the body after it looks like he got the ball. I didn't see the penalty when I first saw it. When you see the still of the shot, it's hard to argue against having some sort of a penalty there. And everything that you just explained, Andrew, like I agree that from, you know, the violent nature of the play and bringing the foot that high up, as it's a dangerous play. But
well, and the other thing is, I'm not sure.
I think there's both cases.
We've talked about, and I've even heard commentators talk about intent before. I don't think intent actually matters as much as people think it does or say it does.
I've brought up intent on this podcast before, and I got shouted down saying, nope, doesn't matter.
If you 4 years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, our beloved Sonny broke Andre Gomez's leg. And I'll tell you, Sonny doesn't intentionally hurt anyone. He was actually in tears because of it. What did Sonny get? A straight red. He broke a guy's legs for a dangerous tackle. So intent doesn't matter. So I think, so I think it should have been a penalty. It's unfortunate for Liverpool. Good for the title race, but unfortunate for Liverpool. But great, it brought up an interesting question, because the video I watched, it actually appears to hit McAllister first, kind of in the shoulder, and deflect off, and then Doku's foot hits it and then carries into his chest. But it
caught, I don't even think it matters.
I don't think it matters either. But my point, yeah, what it brought up to me is, I was wondering, did they not call it because they determined that it was actually a handball by McAllister? So that led me,
just possible.
That led me to think, because the ball hits him right up here, and worse, like bad handballs have been called in the Premier League, because his arm is kind of out to the side when it happens, bounces off, hits Doku's foot, then Doku into his body. Yes, Andrew.
I have a knowing is half the battle.
Well, I might be getting. I might be leading up to that.
Okay.
I'm leading up to that because yeah. So it made me wonder if they determined it was a handball, would that negate the penalty? And would it also negate a red card? So this is very hypothetical, but it got me wondering, because if there's a foul in the lead up to a play where a penalty occurs in the box, the penalty is waved off and the earlier foul is called, and the earlier foul negates what happens after it. So what I was wondering is, what would have happened in that scenario where there's a handball followed by violent conduct where the guy gets a red card? Because you can get a red card like without it being a ball in play.
Right.
So I did not know what would happen in that scenario. Because if a guy gets a red card in the box, is there still a penalty? Like, how does that work? So I went to our on the ground field reporter, Stu. He reads the PGML rule book every year. He is up to date on the rules. So I said, Stu, what would have happened in that scenario? And here is his answer.
Right, there's a few stages with this one. I actually really have to think for a minute, because it's one of these that's so weird that it could happen, it probably will at some point. So if it was handball first, it wouldn't necessarily be a penalty, because obviously the handball offence came before. If it was violent conduct, though, it can still be a red card regardless, because you can have violent conduct in when the ball's dead. So I don't think that would change. if it was deemed that it was violent conduct off the ball, then it could potentially still be a penalty, but I don't think it would be. So I would go for, it would just be handball, but it could still be a red card, I think.
So there we go. The red card would stand, but no penalty, which is wild.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I feel like we're beating a dead horse here, but is, and I probably haven't watched as many replays as you guys have. Is it possible that the hypothetical handball, if that's potentially what they saw, is the violent conduct a result of the ball hitting the hand first? Because if he didn't hit handball, and if Doku would have then made contact with the ball and it would have been clean, does the handball actually force Doku into making violent contact because the ball changed trajectory, etc.? Like, can you put that back on McAllister for causing the violent conduct?
It's actually interesting because I actually think the opposite would have happened. If McAllister doesn't touch that ball, Doku goes straight foot into his body. Like, McAllister hitting the ball, because it deflects off and then into his foot. So it'll be interesting. You know, the Premier League has released those VAR recordings, a few weeks after controversial VAR calls. So it'll be really fascinating to hear what they have to say on this one.
Do we think this will be one that we'll get to hear?
Is that, I would hope. I mean, I would hope so, with the implications that it had on the league. I would think out of all of them, this would be one that would
that'll be interesting. So, it's good.
But all that to say, a 1-1 draw makes the title race very exciting. So let's actually move on to that. We're going to talk about Arsenal being at the top of the Premier League. They, with that draw and their 2-1 victory, Arsenal is now sitting atop. They are tied with Liverpool on points with 64. But because of Arsenal's prolific goal scoring over the past month and a half, they have a 7-goal lead on goal differential on Liverpool. And I brought a special guest tonight, Titus, my son, Arsenal fan. Back in 2018, 2019, when I chose Wolves, he asked, "Dad, can I choose my own team?" I foolishly said yes. I should have forced him, like a good father, to support his dad's team, but I gave him free will and autonomy, and he chose Arsenal. So he, for weeks, has been saying Arsenal is the best team in the league, and I've said, nope, they're not. They're playing like the best team in the league, but they're still not in first, but now they're in first, so now he can come out here and talk. Titus, how are you feeling about Arsenal in first place?
Good.
Oh, and you need to talk a little louder than that, boy, if you're going to be on the podcast.
Good.
But you don't need to talk so deep. Just talk with your normal voice. Okay.
No, I'm just tired. We'll probably sell.
You think you're going to sell? You don't think you're going to finish top of the league?
No.
You don't?
Really? That's not a lot of confidence, Titus.
Well, the best, like, reference of the future is the past, so.
Man, wise. Sounds like your father. Yeah.
Wait, who's gonna pass him, Titus?
Definitely not Tottenham.
Jeez, Andrew.
So obviously.
Softball. Wait, stop getting such easy.
Yeah, no, see, easy. I'm trying to help you out, but like, who?
Oh,
Who do you actually think is going to win?
City.
It just feels inevitable. But City hasn't looked that great. I mean, that's my one hope, is even in this match, Liverpool seemed to outplay them towards the end.
City is the Chiefs of the Premier League.
Breaking our hearts.
Yeah, but the Chiefs aren't that dislikable, Titus. I know, as a Niners fan, it's a little different, but I know.
Is Mahomes the Haaland?
No, this is KDB.
Oh.
Haaland would be nothing without KDB, because he didn't do anything until KDB came back, and now he scored 5 goals, and 4 of those came from KDB.
Dang. That's Titus dropping knowledge right there.
Holland.
What about Foden though? What about Holland? The best player in the league? What about Foden?
Phil Foden, he's amazing.
He's like the Chris Jones. But like,
it's true though. KDB does
Holland's the lead Travis Kelce. He feeds off of Mahomes. Just like Holland feeds off of KDB.
I like it. I like that reference, Titus. But Arsenal, so you think City still, I mean, I think that's been a resounding refrain here on the podcast as well, that we feel like City's inevitable. And Arsenal and City, that's their next matchup, right? Not this upcoming weekend, but in a few weeks, their next match is against one another. So I guess that probably isn't going to decide the title, but that's going to give one of those teams a big heads up.
Yeah.
Titus, did you watch the game this week?
Yeah, I watched part of it. I was losing in Monopoly while Arsenal scored.
Did you see the Havertz goal at the end?
Yeah, it showed it. That goal is worth every mistake he's made this season.
Yeah, what about the dive that he should have got the second yellow for? Any thoughts on that?
He should have got that. Like, he should have got the yellow.
He should have got it.
I saw it.
Then they would have been playing a man down.
But then again, we always get called for the call, like being like, give him a yellow, give him a yellow. And the Brentford player did that. He didn't get called the yellow. So kind of evens it out.
Do you dislike Havertz on your own team as much as everybody else dislikes Havertz?
Yeah, but I don't. He's not my least favorite player on the team.
Who's your least favorite player on the team?
Thomas Partey.
Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy.
You're at least teaching him some things.
I am. We have some principles. We have some principles.
That's good. I respect that position, Titus.
It's always my team. Like, Wander Franco. I'm a Rays fan. Thomas Partey. I used to be a Texans fan. And D-Hop, like,
not
Richard,
D-Hop.
Richard Sherman.
Hey, don't talk badly about Sherman.
Titus, right. Slow down a little. You started sounding like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. the other day when he's like, "Yeah, I was on Epstein's play, and I also was friends with Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby too." Tone it down, dude. Stop with the lineup of people you support.
He doesn't support them.
His
point was that he's frustrated that those guys keep ending up on the teams he supports.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, Titus, thanks so much for coming on, buddy. I'm glad Arsenal's in first for your sake.
Me too. So I'll enjoy it while I can.
Yeah.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. Fortunately, they don't play for 20 days.
Actually, they play tomorrow against Porto.
Fortunately, they don't play City for 20 days. So you can hold that lead for a little while. Andrew, you're so melancholy and calm after Spurs 4-0 thump. I would say it's wisdom to as a Spurs fan to not get too excited. But Spurs ass whoop Aston Villa 4-0. I did not watch it, but I felt like I was watching it because you were giving us some live commentary in the group text.
What a fun match that was, wasn't it, fellas? Goodness, oh boy, did I enjoy that. It was. I had a good time. I am trying to be Mr. Even Keel. I'm trying to you know, just enjoy the happiness that comes along with being a Spurs fan from time to time. And this yesterday was one of those days. Not much to talk about early. First half, 0-0. Two quick goals to start. And Kulusevski was all over the place. And that's always a good sign. We got one from Matters. We got one from Brennan Johnson. And then for some reason, John McGinn loses his damn mind. What minute was that? The 59th? 65th?
Yeah, it was still 2-0 at the time.
Yeah. It was a good 10 minutes after the last goal. It's not like it was immediately after. But, I mean, the man comes out of nowhere, doesn't even make a play on the ball, shoulders a dude, knocks him head over ass, instant red card, and then Spurs are up a man the rest of the way, and they get two easy ones.
It wasn't even the shouldering. It was the fact that he just went straight for the guy's legs. Like, just took him out. It was like that junior high move where you're walking behind your friend and you kick his right leg to make him trip over on his left, you know? Like,
right.
He just did it at full speed.
Yeah, like, super fast, dude. It was a lot of fun. And again, my favorite thing about Spurs this season is how everybody's got everybody's back. I'm starting to understand why. Did you guys not like Harry Kane because you thought he was a prima donna?
No, I don't. There's just something about Harry Kane I didn't like.
Because the team is more team oriented this year without him. I will say that.
Yeah.
But
we have
no,
to get
it was
back
a,
to McGinn, though,
fun.
Because McGinn is a starting midfielder on my Kyle Walker 11. And that was when I saw that, I was like, what an ass. Couldn't have happened to a worse bloke.
My favorite thing about my fandom and this, we need to keep updating our Kyle Walkers or at least referencing them, because my favorite thing about this this podcast is that as soon as I hear there's a red card or like a hard foul and it's Newcastle or it's, I immediately know it's one or two players, or I go through everybody's list immediate and I'm like, it's one of those sons of a bitch, isn't it? And it almost always is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful. But no, all said, it was a fun win. It was, I really enjoy this Spurs team. They're growing, they're learning. We're going to enjoy third place this year and just enjoy champions.
Oh man, you just had to. You had to go to third.
I had to go one too many, didn't I? We're going to beat Aston Villa. We're down two with a game in hand. Aston Villa is sinking. We'll take fourth, whatever. But we're climbing.
If the Premier League teams can perform well enough in Europe, particularly this week, which we're about to jump to that conversation, the fifth place spot will also be Champions League next year. But I think as much as I shit on Spurs, I would agree with you that it is a likable team. And they should finish fourth. They should finish fourth. Like, there's really no reason when I look at the teams behind them and I look at Aston Villa, there, it feels like there's no reason that Spurs shouldn't finish fourth, other than the fact that they're Spurs and who knows what will happen to them.
That's what drives me nuts, is you guys have more experience with this. And I'm like, this is fun. Maybe Postecoglou, listen, you got to understand, I am a patient man and I've sat through curses, and Postecoglou feels like a curse buster. So I'm okay with this. Lumberg,
you buy
you're
at
about
Circle
to
K? You buy a curse buster at Circle K?
I am a
2 ounce
curse buster, dude.
Curse buster.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I actually wanted to spend the rest of the podcast talking about what is to come, because it is.
Hold on. I can't let that go. I'm sorry. Remember that time I accidentally slipped into an English accent and I got roasted for half a second? The podcast. Is that what you were going for?
No, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
It happens sometimes.
I have no clue what just happened right there.
I'm just saying, don't have that's okay. We're as long as we're all on a truce. And we accidentally sometimes do a syllable in an English accent. From now on, it goes unnoticed. Deal?
It was bad last night when I was watching the Academy Awards and like the Brits won like 8 in a row for hair and makeup and costume design and all these like different awards, best foreign film, all that stuff. And I was like trying to figure out where in England they were from. That's where I was like, okay, this is getting a little out of hand.
Yeah, I do that too.
That's bad. Okay. Well, I wanted to look at the week ahead because it's a fascinating week. We have Champions League second legs tomorrow. City is already through to the quarterfinals. Arsenal is down 1-0 to Porto. They play this week. In Europa, West Ham is down 1-0 to Freiburg. Brighton is down 4-0 to Roma. And Liverpool is up 5-1 on Sparta Praha. And in the Conference League, Villa is 0-0 with Ajax. So all of those matches will happen in the next couple of days, some midweek Premier League teams playing. Part of the reason I bring that up is, one, there are Premier League teams. We should be paying attention to them. But more importantly for the teams that we support is England needs, the Premier League needs these teams to advance to help their UEFA country coefficient to try and get that fifth spot in the Champions League. And for Wolves fans, we're hoping that if they get that fifth spot, that drops 6 and 7 to Europa, and 8 would get Conference League. So it already looks like Brighton is out. They're down 4-0 to Roma. It'd be an insane comeback if they were to come back. But with West Ham down, with Arsenal down, with Villa and Ajax tied right now, if too many of those teams drop out at this stage of the European competitions, it's going to be that much harder for England to jump over Germany. So we just want to keep our eye on that to see what happens in those European slots.
Who's losing the spot?
No one's losing a spot. They're adding 4 spots this year.
Oh.
And 2 of them are already accounted for. The other 2 go to the top 2 European teams based on this.
How good their league is that they're coming from.
How good their league is in the way they perform in European competitions. So
that sucks, though, because you're playing with last year's winners this year in a foreign competition.
To affect next year. That's just how. So
yeah. Okay, whatever. But okay, fine. Go. Who are we rooting for then? For
all of them. All of them. Just unless you have a reason not to root for some of them.
Yeah, so. I was gonna say that goes against my nature.
Yeah. And then this weekend, we have a really small slate of Premier League games, which we'll get to. And that is because the FA Cup quarterfinals are this weekend. We have multiple Premier League teams. I actually think there's 6 of the 8 teams left are Premier League. Wolves host Coventry on Saturday. City hosts Newcastle on Saturday. Chelsea hosts Leicester City on Sunday. And United hosts Liverpool. So there are some really tasty matchups there. The Wolves Coventry one is probably the most lopsided. City Newcastle should be good. I think United Liverpool obviously should be good. And I actually think that Chelsea Leicester should be interesting because Leicester is playing amazing in the championship. Most of their players are Premier League players. And we all know that Chelsea, despite winning 3-2 today, isn't very good. And so I think should be some fun FA Cup matches this weekend.
Hey Lundberg, are you familiar with the FA Cup and how it gets seeded and everything?
No, probably not the seeding. I learned through some of the conversations on here about just all the different, you know, divisions, 4th, 5th, 6th, et cetera. But once it gets to this stage, I don't know how they set it up.
It is like names in a hat. Yeah,
that's wild.
And so Wolves are playing Coventry, and United is playing Liverpool, right? Like, no offense, Nate, but arguably, Chelsea and Wolves are the 2 worst Premier League teams left in the FA Cup, and Wolves are playing Coventry, which is a Championship League team, or no?
Yeah,
or
Championship. Lower? Yep, they're Championship.
Yeah. So they get one of the easiest draws, and then Liverpool and United are head to head. It's funny to me.
Yeah,
makes it entertaining. It gives I'm sure the draw is probably a widely watched. Do they do it live, or what do they do?
They do it live.
See, then it's fun. It's a spectacle.
Because the games are played on different days, they'll even do the draw sometimes before certain matches have happened. So last 2 weeks ago, Wolves already knew that if they won, they would be playing Coventry. So that draw had already happened before the match. So that's also interesting aspect of it all. But yeah, cool. Then you can also, like, I think it was last year, Wolves drew Liverpool in the third round. And it's like, that sucks. You just end up, sometimes the draws go your way, sometimes they don't. So,
well, I mean, City played Tottenham like a month ago.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So the other thing that's interesting about this, so the winners of these games obviously go to the semifinals, and the semifinals are played at Wembley. So the semifinals and finals are played at Wembley, which is a massive deal for English soccer. Right. Like, if you get to play at Wembley, you've made it, right? And so most Wolves fans are like, we don't care about the league anymore. We would rather finish 13th and play at Wembley than finish 7th or 8th. So it's really...
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's definitely a debate. Like, I'll see Wolves Twitter, like, people will post, like, would you rather make it to Wembley or make it to Europe? And people will kind of debate back and forth. But an FA Cup run for a team that's not one of the big 4 to 6 who are usually playing one of those title matches, it's a big deal. So it would be massive for Wolves to make it. Or, I mean, probably Newcastle a little bit. I don't think they've played in Wembley recently, if I remember correctly. Certainly Leicester, that'd be massive for them if they were to beat Chelsea. So it's a pretty big deal.
So hypothetical, Wolves win against Coventry and Leicester beats Chelsea and they redraw. There's a chance that Wolves play Leicester in Wembley to go to the final.
Yep.
That's crazy.
So,
like, it could be Liverpool, Man City on one side,
yes,
and Wolves, Leicester on the other side. Like, that could 100%. Realistically happen.
Or even crazier, it could be Coventry, Leicester on one side.
Yeah.
City. So that actually happened in 2018, 2019. My first season watching, Wolves and a team called Watford were on one side of the bracket, and City, maybe Chelsea, were on the other side, and Watford won. Watford beat Wolves and City won, and then City beat them in the final, like 7-0 or 6-1 or some crazy score. But if you're a Watford fan that year, I mean, what a amazing opportunity. So
right.
I'm going to look really far forward. So we looked at this weekend, but I also want to look very far forward, because I saw a tweet that said that Spurs will help decide the champion of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating, because Wolves also will help decide the champion of the Premier League. And so, Andrew, our teams have a fascinating final run of fixtures. Tottenham, 3 weeks. I mean, this has to be one of just the absolute worst scheduling nightmares of a club.
It sucks. It sucks.
Tottenham in weeks 34, 35 and 36.
April is the cruelest month.
Play City, Arsenal, and Liverpool in back-to-back-to-back weeks. I think you host City and Arsenal, and then I think you play at Liverpool. So at least you have two home matches. But
I was about to say, we don't host City, but then the time we hosted them, it was the FA Cup. It wasn't the Premier. So yeah, we do. You're right.
So 3 weeks in a row. But then here's what's happening on the other side. In weeks 34, while you're playing City, Wolves play Arsenal. Then in week 36, Wolves play City. Then in week 38, Wolves play Liverpool. So between our two teams, the Premier League will be decided.
I think we should have I figure at the end, one of the few things we have left to talk shit about to each other will be who has the best run of that three game match.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my dream, so Wolves fans or Gary O'Neill has started doing this thing at the end of matches, and I'm sure other managers have done it before, but Klopp made famous this thing where the fans like go, oh, and he like fist pumps. Everyone knows Klopp does it. Well, Gary O'Neill has started doing it with Wolves fans at the end of matches, and Liverpool fans are just shitting themselves. Like, again, I know Klopp's made it famous, whatever. People copy stuff all the time. But my dream scenario is that Wolves beat or draw Liverpool to cost them the title, and for Gary O'Neill to do that at Anfield on the final day of the season. That is like, we could lose the rest of our matches, and if we did that, I would feel so wonderful. I know how petty
The
and petty.
level
Oh,
of
that's not
pettiness.
petty.
That
Oh,
makes
it's
my heart just
beautiful.
hearing that. Everything that you just said, and I didn't go to a game. Well, no, I actually, when I saw Liverpool play Southampton, but when I went into that stadium at Anfield, everything that you just described, I walked through an empty stadium, I walked through a pro shop, I walked through all of the history, everything that you are just describing about Liverpool fans. I could feel it in the ethos of that stadium. That is the reason I walked out of there going, I will never root for this team. And there was not even a match happening. I just felt everything that you just said is 100% true about that fan base. Can't stand it, not one bit. So thank you. That may have just moved Wolves higher up my list, just hearing you say that. Like, that was inspirational.
Wait for the final. We're gonna lose 4-0 to Liverpool, but I just am gonna feast on those dreams for now. For now.
Don't get me started. Oh.
Gentlemen, I don't know if you have a best in the Weghorst. I have a Weghorst for sure. I don't have a best. I mean, I have best things that are kind of self-proclaiming for Wolves,
Well, okay,
but
so
generally, I have a Weghorst, but if you have a best or a Weghorst, I would love to hear it.
Mine is sort of related to what you were talking about getting the fans cheered up at the end, except I saw this ritual where this manager would bring out one fan and have them scream at his players after a loss. So there was like a designated fan who would like come out and be like, "You're all shite," and he would list like 100 reasons. And all 11 players, if they lost, had to stand there and listen to it. And I forget what a Spurs player retweeted it, and he's like, "Oh man, imagine if I had gotten that after so and so loss, I would have had this to say." And I can't tell if that's the best or the worst, but I dare someone in the EPL to try it. I dare you. Oh, that'd
That
be
that's a
wonderful.
best. That's 100% a best.
Oh, it was so good. The designated fan. God, what an honor.
So smart, because those guys have decades of pain and frustration built up that they will be saying things to those players that the players have no context for. Like,
Oh yeah.
in
I
comparison to
lost my
some really
family's home because of you.
Oh, they'll be bringing up like players from the mid 70s who are like the worst left back in the league, but no one knows who they are except for this 63-year-old dude who sat in those stands for 51 years of his life. That's an
Yeah.
amazing, job by that manager.
I'll see if I can find the clip and send it to you.
I love it. Lundberg, you had something?
I've got a Weghorst. For all of our listeners out there, I don't know where this was found, but somewhere on the internet, there is a drop of the Man U
Oh.
first kit for next season. Do yourself a favor, go and review the horrendous presentation of a team that I honestly don't like, but I will say their third kit this year is a fantastic kit.
Great
It's
kit.
beautiful. So when I see a good kit, even on a team that I don't like, even with a color that I don't like, I'm more than willing to give it props. This is not that case. So I'm already expecting it will be in the worst bottom five kits in the entire league next year. It looks like a karate studio like designed it. It's like a dojo. There's slat. There's black slashes of fabric in different places. It's awful. Hold up. It's absolutely awful. I got it.
Remember at the end of the Karate Kid where to differentiate the different karate schools, they're all wearing different color gis. He's like that one kid with the red and black ones, and you're like, dude, stick with the white. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah.
No. That's much, much better description of it. It's just awful. It really, and even the way that they present it, like the way that the picture is, it's like stretched out weird. Like no human's gonna wear it. That it's just bad. So I mean, I'm glad you asked, Nate. I would have forgotten about talking about that.
No, thank you for bringing that up. That could easily have been my weg horse, but my weg horse is just a really disappointing weg horse. And I don't know if this guy is actually a supporter of Chelsea or he just got invited by a friend, but I saw that Adam Sandler, Adam was sitting in Todd Bowley's box today at the Chelsea match. Todd Bowley's the owner of Chelsea. I'm a huge Adam Sandler fan, and that just made me so sad to see him sitting supporting Chelsea. Bully's from LA. Sandler lives in LA or Malibu. So maybe they're neighbors. I don't know, but that is so disappointing to me.
Cancel Adam Sandler.
Who would you expect Adam Sandler to be a fan of? Like if I was to just close my eyes and pick a team, I would have been like, that's a Chelsea fan. Like
I would have said Arsenal.
No, I feel like Newcastle. I feel like Adam's got that, like, Adam Sandler has kind of a blue collar, like, feel to him. Like, because is he a Bruins fan or is that just from Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore. I don't know. Is he?
I don't know, but he just feels like a working class. He'd be a fan of like a working class.
He's wearing a Bobby Orr jersey. Everybody has a Bobby Orr jersey.
I don't have a Bobby Orr jersey. I would.
You should get one.
I should get one. Sweater. Not jersey.
Sweater.
Sweaters. All right. Well, let's move on to best bet. Gentlemen, the rich get richer. This is, we're like living, our best bet is like capitalism at its worst. I keep winning and you guys keep losing. We'll spare all the details, but I did choose Liverpool City to draw. The rest of you had picks that did not hit. So I sent a text out and I said, there's a really, really small pot of matches to choose from this week. And should we open it up to allow us to make our best bet from FA Cup? And Chris said yes. No one else objected. Chris Smith said yes. No one else objected. So, so far, I don't know, Andrew, what you've picked, but so far, two of us have picked an FA Cup victory and two have picked a Premier League one. So, Tim Hoyland and I are both taking Leicester over Chelsea at +550. And Chris Smith and Chris Lundberg have made, and I just saw Andrew just filled in the same one. So Andrew is taking Leicester at +550 as well. And the two Chris's are going with the same pick. So Lundberg, what are you and Chris Smith picking? Who are you picking?
It's funny. Smith took the same game. I didn't even look at that. He took Luton as well, huh?
Yep.
That's a great bet. I mean, he's higher up in the standings than I am, so I might as well follow a leader. Luton is getting +500 against Bournemouth. Like, I don't believe in Bournemouth with a single ounce of my will at all. And I don't really believe in Luton either, but I'll take the +500 anytime.
I can see why they're trending that way. because Luton is Luton has been not showing the same fight that they've shown in the past. It's been a little disappointing. I try to catch as much Luton as I can because I'm committed to the bit for the whole season. But Luton just doesn't have the spark that they've had, in my opinion, in the past couple of weeks. And I hope they get it back because I'd like to see them stay up, but they're running out of chances.
And I almost called you, Nate, on the bet for Leicester, because a few minutes ago when I was looking at our final eight teams, the line had changed to +600. So I was wondering if you were going to get the +600 line, and now just in talking, it's back to +550 again. So the line is moving.
The line, they heard us, and the line started moving down. That's how good my best bets have been this season.
Amazing.
Line movers. Well, it should be interesting. Those are some pretty high odds for all of us. So nice to see us all taking them. There is not a lot to watch, Lundberg, from the Premier League side of things, but is there anything that you're looking forward to on the weekend or planning on watching? Any of your final eight that you're keeping an eye on?
Let me pull up the schedule here again. You know, Forest Luton is going to be entertaining. I bet on Forest last week to win, and they did not win. Villa West Ham, you know, you always love the claret and blue derby. So yeah. It's always entertaining to watch. That's kind of all I have left, I think. Yeah, no, until the 30th of March. That's my only teams remaining. So the Wolves Coventry game will be good. They're in my top six. So
if you're willing to get up that early on Saturday morning, it's a very early match.
That's early.
Yep. I actually thought with the time change, it was going to be at 4:15. So I don't know. I'm not sure why it's at 5:15. I need to make sure before I get up at 4 and go back to sleep.
I'll probably watch the Man United Liverpool game too, only because my kid will be interested, and there's only a few times I can side with him and root against the team. So that'll be fun.
Totally. Guys, this week I think will decide Luton's fate. Luton has a great opportunity right now to pull themselves out of the relegation zone, because this match that they're playing on Wednesday is a makeup game. So this is a Wednesday match, Luton-Bournemouth. That's the makeup game from earlier in the season. So if Luton were somehow to win that match, they will pull even with Forest. And if they were to somehow win by two, they would jump ahead of Forest, sending them into relegation zone. And then Luton plays Forest on the weekend. So if Luton has any chance of staying up, these two matches are so important to at least get results. But if they could pull off a victory in one of them, it puts them in real, well, particularly the one against Forest. If they could get a draw with Bournemouth and then beat Forest, that puts them in amazing position for the final few match weeks.
I am so excited. Let's go, Hatters. Come on, fellas. Get it together. This is it. This is your time to shine. Also, I think they have a really easy end of schedule, if I recall correctly. I think we were talking about it at the beginning of the season because we were – well, no, I think – never mind. Now I'm thinking that was Tottenham. Forget it. Either way, let's go, Luton, baby. Now's our time.
Well, Tottenham doesn't have an easy end of the season.
Well, the last three aren't bad.
So it's that run of fixtures, and then
yeah, Fulham, West Ham, Everton, Wolves, Brentford are their last five. Not terrible.
Ooh, not terrible at all. Not terrible at all.
All right.
Well, good. But let's go, Hatters. Gentlemen, that's all we have for this week. A nice, tidy episode.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah, well done. Thanks, Titus.
Yeah, thanks, Titus.
I will tell him. All right, gentlemen. All right.
Good night.
Night.